Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Hello and welcome to Livewire's Buy Hold Sell. I'm Ali Selby and today we are talking giant global names and whether they still have giant returns in their future. To answer this very question, I'm joined by Vihari Ross from Magellan and Chris Damassi from Montaka. First up, we have Tesla. It's had nothing short of a spectacular run of late. It's up around 1,000% since its COVID low, but it's a pretty controversial stock. Everyone's kind of got their own opinion on it. Vihari, I'd like to start with you. What's yours? Is it a buy, hold, or sell?
This is a definite sell from my point of view. You know, Tesla is an interesting business. You know, we've got Elon Musk, who's, you know, a pop culture figure in his own right. But ultimately, what we're looking for is businesses with sustainable advantages and the ability to exploit them over time. Ultimately, what we're looking at here is a car manufacturing business, which is a very competitive space to be in. You know, they're not leaders also in driverless car technology. You know, that's Waymo, which is owned by Alphabet. So I think with this stock, you've got a whole lot of exuberance, but not a lot of investment discipline.
Wow, that's quite surprising. And how about Chris? Is it a buy, hold or sell for you?
It's a hold, Ali. The electronic vehicle market is going to grow 20-fold within the next decade. And they've also got a whole bunch of real options, anything from AI chips to battery technology and anything else that Elon Musk can think of at the time. So it's a very difficult one to sell or to short on that basis.
Next up, we have Tencent Holdings. It owns the likes of WeChat and also a 5% slice of Afterpay. Chris, is it a buy, hold or sell for you?
Tencent's absolutely a buy. So Tencent is a monopoly on Chinese internet traffic and it's growing its revenues at 30% per annum. It has 1.2 billion monthly users on its app, doing everything. It's a super app, doing everything from ordering food to doing their banking to chatting with their friends. We think that's underappreciated. But what else is underappreciated is their $150 billion or more portfolio of investments in other companies and internet platforms around the world. So they've got investments in companies like Spotify, Epic Games, and a whole bunch of others that are going to create enormous value over time, and that's being overlooked by the market.
Chris reckons it's a super app. So is it a super buy or a super sell for you, Vihari?
Ali, it's a buy for me as well. You know, Tencent has a remarkable platform in WeChat. And, you know, that's, you know, given them the ability, you know, they're connecting consumers, they're connecting businesses, and the ability to, you know, have an advertising business off the back of that. I'm sure Facebook would love to have the monetization that Tencent has already achieved. And of course, there's more opportunity, you know, still to come through their other investments, including financial services and things like that as well.
Let's stay on you. Next up, we've got Microsoft. Its share price has lifted around 85% since its COVID low. Is it a buy, hold or sell?
This is a buy for me as well. You know, Microsoft's thesis is really predicated on, you know, the opportunity within the cloud as well as its, you know, very strong sort of incumbent businesses as well. So I think we've got, you know, an enormous opportunity through the cloud platform. They're second to Amazon's AWS there, and that is a very substantial, you know, opportunity where there's only going to be three key players, you know, themselves included as well as Google. The next piece is obviously Office 365. You know, that's really expanded the opportunity set. You know, the third component is just their, you know, their legacy, you know, server and operating system elements. And, you know, that was something that was written off many years ago for Microsoft. But the reality is that, you know, businesses need that platform.
Do you agree, Chris? Is it a buy for you?
It's absolutely a buy for us. I think the When it comes to revolutions in the computing industry, the next Microsoft is Microsoft. So Microsoft capitalized in the 1990s on the PC revolution, and now it's taking advantage of a shift to cloud computing within the enterprise. And that's going to add about $6 trillion in annual IT spend for enterprises around the world.
Okay, so Microsoft is a buy from both our fundies. We've also asked them to bring along today one global stock that they think can continue to deliver returns over the long term. Vihari, let's start with you. What's your global pick and why?
Well, Ali, I thought, given we've talked a lot about these tech companies today, I thought I'd move to the consumer space. My pick is Estee Lauder. This is a business that has a remarkable brand, you know, luxury brand portfolio. It's got a number of billion-dollar brands, you know, Estee Lauder itself, as well as, you know, high-tier brands like La Mer. This is a business that is benefiting from that growth in the Chinese middle-class consumer and the ability for them to spend more on, you know, personal goods over time. This is a business that's been, you know, quite resilient through this pandemic. But at the same time, there's an option value sitting within Estee Lauder, and that's obviously the return, you know, when this pandemic is eventually over. You know, there's this element of, you know, the roaring 20s coming back. There's, you know, people will want to be going out again, people will travel again, you know, and participate in life, you know, far more than they are today. And that's sort of sitting within, you know, Estee Lauder as a future opportunity as well.
Yeah, really interesting. How about you, Chris? What's your long-term growth business?
So I think one that you can buy now and put in the drawer for a very, very long time is CME Group. CME is the world's largest derivatives exchange, and it benefits from classic marketplace network effects. The buyers come there to meet the most sellers in the world, and the sellers come there because there's the most buyers in the world. And in fact, on top of that, they also have effectively a government mandated monopoly over the clearing of these derivatives products, which means that the buyers and the sellers can't go anywhere else once they start using CME. So it's one with an impenetrable moat that is going to last for probably our lifetimes and more, and it's also going to grow strongly.
Well, it seems our fundies still believe that there are some mega caps with further room to grow, but we'd love to know what you think. Let us know what mega cap you think has further room to run in the comments section below. This year, we are getting you, our viewers, involved in Buy, Hold, Sell by getting you to send in your questions for our new segment, Questions Without Notice. Thank you for those who sent in their questions. Neither Vihari nor Chris has any knowledge of the questions that they're about to be asked. First up, we have a question from Nick, who asks whether our fundies believe that we are witnessing a changing of the guard among the big five tech stocks, and what companies do you think that could take their place? Chris, I might start with you. What do you think?
Well, I don't think we're witnessing a changing of the guard. I think the big five tech stocks have durable competitive advantages, and it means that they're going to lead their marketplaces, and in fact they're going to grow into adjacent marketplaces for decades to come.
Vihari, do you agree, or do you feel like maybe in 20 years' time we could see a whole new big five tech?
Yeah, no, I think I do tend to agree. Look, it's not to say that there couldn't be, you know, another you know, interesting company that's able to build a network over time. But I think one of the advantages that the large incumbents do have is their existing scale, is their existing ability to invest behind, you know, digitization if it's even of itself. And I think, you know, even looking at, you know, the cloud network that is being built, you know, you have Amazon there, you have Google there, and you have Microsoft there, and the ability of any other player to really compete with those three over time is becoming increasingly unlikely. The sheer amount of capital that they have had to put behind, you know, establishing those businesses makes it, you know, pretty difficult for anyone to really come along and disrupt that. And I think the big five tech companies of the future are likely to be, you know, very similar to the companies we see today.
Next up, we have a question from Finn, who says the idea of disruptive technologies has really taken over the investment landscape recently. Do you think this kind of strategy of investing only in disruptive technologies is sustainable? I'll stay on you, Vihari.
It's an interesting question. I think disruption is a bit of a, you know, a fashionable word, but I think disruption just represents a change in the way we live our lives. I think the way that we think about disruption is what are the changes that are lasting and who are the beneficiaries of those things? I think just getting caught up in the concept of disruption and all technology companies are winners is a mistake at the same time. So we like to think about what are the businesses where we can have conviction that their investments are going to lead to lasting change or lasting disruptive change, but equally, what are the businesses that are resilient to lasting change? And that might be the human element of things that just won't change in the way we live our lives, you know, regardless of what's happening in technology.
Chris, do you agree? Is this kind of strategy of investing only in disruptive technologies perhaps a little bit futile?
Well, I think it's a fantastic strategy if you can be clear about identifying who the winners are going to be in those marketplaces for the disruptive technologies. And if you can be convinced that those marketplaces are going to be large and growing marketplaces for a long, long time. I think there's been a lot of tears investing in digitally disruptive technologies. Previously, the 3D printing companies 10 years ago were pretty exciting, and they lost their investors about 90% of their money. So it's not just about getting behind the next fad or the next idea. Having said that, it's also not just about investing in singular, narrowly focused companies to be able to invest behind this theme of digital disruption. You could also invest in some of the large mega cap technology stocks who are investing heavily behind change and disruption all around the world.
Well, that wraps up Questions Without Notice. We hope you like the new segment. If you do, why not give the episode a like? Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss an update.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by LiveWire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.